Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 105 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now, which is brought to you Monday through Friday by Digitex, wishing you and yours all the best during these challenging and uncertain times. Digitex.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. We'll tell you that guests on the show receive gift certificates to Japanese Village, now open for indoor dining and takeout orders. Full details at jvedmonton.ca. You can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street and 111th Avenue. We are going to head off to our headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It just might be the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And we are pleased to welcome back to the show a guy who guided his team to a 22-1 record this season. They won the Alberta division in the Western Hockey League. They will be a prohibitive favorite coming up this year when the Western Hockey League, we think, gets fully back up. And Adam, we welcome back Brad Lauer, Edmonton Oil Kings head coach. Brad, it's Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Bob. I'm doing fine, thanks.
Good. I know I went to a bunch of the games, liked what I saw. How unique of an experience was it for you this year to coach a group, not have a chance to play for a league championship, just play within a division? How challenging was it to keep the kids motivated, to keep the kids focused, to keep the kids following the COVID rules? Maybe just start there for us.
Bob, I was really impressed with our guys. They're really, I think for one thing, obviously with them being able to have the opportunity to have some kind of season, they were very excited when they came to us for a small training camp that we had. So I think they understood the importance of just trying to have some kind of a season. They really embraced the season, even though it was only 23, 24 games for some teams. And they were motivated. It was difficult at times, for sure. I mean, obviously, there was those challenges that we had, is making sure we're doing following the guidelines and doing everything that we needed to do. And, when there's a few times where we had to make changes and change schedules and stuff like that. So, that stuff was challenging. But for the most part, the kids are really, really focused and really, really excited to have some kind of season. And it was just enjoyable for me as a coach and our staff just to be able to get on the ice with these guys after being off for 11 and a half months. And, like you said, we had last 2 years, we've had some special players, some special teams here. But, it was just exciting to get back on the ice with them.
Just to put things in perspective for our listeners who are maybe unaware, the Oil Kings went 22-1 this year. You were plus 63 in goal differential in 23 games, which is more than, so you had a lot of things go right this year. Mm-hmm. In the back of your mind, you're thinking we might have missed a chance to win a WHL championship, compete for Memorial Cup. I know you guys still think you're in that. You still think you're in that window right now, though, don't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, junior hockey, Bob. It's one of those things where when you have that window that doesn't stay open for very long. And we've been very fortunate. When I came here, I inherited some pretty good players, and we've been able to work and develop these kids for the next step in their career, as their career goes. And obviously you have seasons where you think it's your turn, and maybe it's your opportunity, you can make a run for it. And I think the last 2 years, obviously, you still have to play it out and do all that. But again, when you look at the big picture, the type of seasons we've had here the last 2 years, sometimes you think you maybe missed the opportunity. But in saying that, I really like the team that we have coming back. And last year's team was really good. But when I say that, We had 10 first-year players also on our team last year, which was by plan. Obviously, with talking to Kurt Hill and then our staff, is, you know, we wanted to make sure, understand the importance of being able to play those 23, 24 games, but also play this that season for the development for the season coming up. And we had, you know, obviously those 10 players that we had, first-year guys, they'll be coming back to our lineup. And, you know, I'm excited again for this season coming up for our guys.
Well, and you look at your team, you got your top five scoring forwards are all back.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, so, I mean, Dylan Gunther only played 12 games and had 12 goals and 24 points for you. Neighbors, yeah. 33 points in 19 games. Williams had a huge, you know, finally sort of developed as that offensive guy people thought when he was on the U18 team a couple of years ago. But the right. one guy that was a surprise for me, we're going to get to Kosa. And Gunther in a second. I got to ask you about Jalen. Yeah. Is it Lipan? That was the guy that when I went to go see a play, I was kind of like, I knew kind of about the other kids, but he's the one that kind of jumped up and surprised me a bit.
Yeah, no, he's been one of those guys. What you could call him a late bloomer, but you know, the best word I have for Loops or Jake is he's. He's a hockey player. He's extremely intelligent, hockey sense wise. He's a competitor. He's a guy that, you know, he came here as a 16-year-old. He was in and out of the lineup. He accepted the role of being a penalty killer. He embraced that challenge. He became one of our top penalty killers. And then obviously last year coming in on this shortened season, he had the opportunity to be on special teams and getting some ice time, and he embraced that situation. And he had a tremendous year for us. You know, credit to him, he put the time in. Obviously, the 11 and a half months that he had off, he really worked hard and put the time in to develop his body and get ready for this season. And, you know, credit to him, he has a lot of interest, you know, with some NHL teams looking at him, and a lot of teams like the way he plays the game. So hopefully something this draft works out for him.
He reminds me a bit of Matthew Perreault. That's who I kind of see, right? Like just a little bit undersized, but a competitive guy, and a guy that might, you know, find a way to play several hundred games in the NHL, like you did, Brad. You got in over 300 games. Different type of player, nonetheless.
Yeah.
All right, go for it.
No, he pulls you into the game. One thing about Jalen, he pulls everybody into the game, which is really nice to have a kid like that. So you better be ready to play because, you know, this kid is very focused and he competes and he pulls everybody into the match, which is kind of nice.
We're joined by Brad Lauer, the head coach of the Edmonton Oil Kings, Bob Stauffer, with you on Winners Now. All right, let's talk about the two guys that are going to go in the first round of the NHL draft. We'll start with Dylan Gunther. You know, pretty dominating performance for you guys. Went off to the U18s, and Connor Bedard and Shane Wright put on a bit of a show. And I almost wonder whether or not that hurt Gunther a bit. But I know you talk to teams in, sort of in that wheelhouse somewhere between 3 versus 8 overall in the draft. He's going in the top 8. You know that. Tell us about this player. What's he like to coach? What are his respective strengths, and where does he need to continue to grow?
Oh man, I mean, I tell you, it's when you have players like this, it's for a coach, it's easy. You know, he's one of those kids that he's very mature, you know, he's very grounded, for one thing. And, you know, he wants to learn, he wants to get better every day, and he's really growing his game, you know, closer to the pro side of it. And what I mean by that is just his preparation for practices, what he does, you know, after practices, take care of himself to make sure he's ready for the next day. You know, he's a kid that, he had a tremendous start for us. You know, he had played 12 games and had 24 points, and he went down to Texas, played for the U18, and, you know, he may not have fared well with as far as the numbers part. One thing about those tournaments with Hockey Canada, for me as a coach watching them, I look at them differently, but those 10 days become more of an individual tournament. And what I mean by that is kids know when they're there that they're on stage and they're performing for scouts. And sometimes the game becomes, I know we talk about it's a team game, but players are there, and the individual hockey really comes out in some guys. And I thought Dylan really handled that well, and I thought he played a really good team game where I seen him killing penalties and on the power play. So They use him efficiently through all, you know, all aspects of the game there. But, you know, for us, he's a pure goal scorer. He's a shoot first type of kind of guy, and these guys don't come along often. And when he do, you better grab him, because I believe he's got the ability to take that to the next level. He could, like I said, he can shoot the puck, and you know, he's just one of those kids that's just going to get better every year.
It's interesting, Brad. I've compared him to a right-handed shooting version of Kyle Connor, except he's already better at the same age. And Kyle Connor's had 330 goal seasons in a row. I can't recall the last time I saw a WHL shooter like this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like a guy that could flat out shoot the pill. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. And like I said, a lot of these kids that come in now, they really want to have that, make the pretty plays. You want to pass, like I call it, pass the puck into the net instead of shooting the puck. And one thing with Dylan is he wants to shoot the puck, and he came to us as a 15-year-old. He scored, I think, it was 3 goals and then 4 games for us, and 2 of them were highlight reel goals where he, you know, quick shot, roofed it over the goalie's glove, and some 19-year-olds can't take that shot. So he had a special year as a 16-year-old, and he came back again this year and had a, you know, a shortened season for him, but for us. But again, he's gotten better every year. He's a grounded kid, and he's a kid that wants to become a pro. And I think, you know, obviously draft day, he's going to be a very excited man.
Yeah, and my assumption is 3 through 7 overall. Is there any chance he can stick in the NHL, or does he need to work on his footwork a little bit to make that next
step? Well, you know, I think a lot of the guys, and we talked about this with Jake Neighbors even, with just the last 2 years of what these young guys' seasons have been without playoff hockey, without being able to get those experiences, you know, and then again, 24-game schedule last season. I don't know if a lot of these kids are ready to step in the National Hockey League. I mean, they're going to be good. They're going to be NHL players. I just think another year in the NHL wouldn't hurt them at all, or in the WHL wouldn't hurt them at all. And I think, you know, every player has something they can work on. You know, it's no different with Dylan. It's no different when I was spent time in the NHL. All these guys want to get better every day. And, you know, he's going to keep working on his foot speed, his wall play and stuff like that. And, you know, as he matures, as he grows into his body and gets bigger, all that stuff's going to improve.
One thing you talked about inheriting, and one thing that Kurt would be the first to admit to it, we're joined by Brad Lauer, former NHL player, former NHL assistant coach, head coach, the Edmonton Oil Kings. You guys inherited a great situation in terms of with the goalies and Sebastian Gosa. For my money, my personal observation, I think this is the best goaltender of the WHL since Carey Price. The guy's 6'6". Tell us about his personality and his athleticism, because some people look at goalies that size and think they're blockers, but he's much more than that, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's very athletic, like you said. He's one of those kids who can go post to post. He's got the legs that obviously the size definitely helps, but he's got the quickness down below, you know, low on the ice. He seals the ice off extremely well for a big man. You know, he's just, for me, what I've seen different from his first year the season before, you know, as a 17-year-old, you know, we came in and we wanted to give him anywhere between 18 and maybe 20 games out of the 68-game schedule. And, you know, as the season went along, we got him in one. His first game, he ended up getting a shutout. And we're like, okay, let's, you know, we'll try it again. And the second game didn't go as well. But, you know, I said, okay, let's check his, you know, his mental makeup. And he battled back through that. So that first year he had, he was in the, you know, his starts weren't, he wasn't getting the good starts like some of the goalie starters would get, but, you know, he earned his way, and he ended up taking the net and becoming our number one guy in November, and had a tremendous year. And I think he really learned a lot when we picked up the goalie Beck Warm, you know, as far as maturing, that's what I mean by is getting ready for practices, getting ready for games, his preparation work. And I really think this last 11 months that we had off with the pandemic, that mentally he really worked on his game and found that next level of the mental toughness in the game, because he's a kid that can, you know, if we make a mistake in the D zone, it costs a goal or against, he can shake that off. Or if it's a bad goal, he doesn't hang on that stuff. He's ready for the next one. I think we've seen that a lot this season here. Obviously, he had that one game, I think there was 4 goals or 5 goals he let in, but other than that, they were 2 or under. And I think you've seen the mental part of his game really take that next step.
He's got a bit of Mike's. We're talking about Sebastian Kosa right now with Brad Lauer. Kosa went 17-1-1, a 1.57 goals against average, a .941 save percentage. He's also got a little bit of the Mike Smith in him, doesn't he? Like, he doesn't take any crap. Like, Mike Smith doesn't let anybody take any liberties. Like, you guys didn't have the toughest. You had a skill team. You didn't have the toughest team.
Yeah.
And he kind of looked after some of your guys once in a while, didn't he?
Well, he is the biggest guy on our team at 6'6 and 205 pounds. But, yeah, he's a kid that owns a crease. That's his paint, and no one's coming in there, and he'll defend that. He's got a really good mindset, attitude in that area. The competitive part of him is in practices, he's giving it to our forwards if they don't score him. So he brings in that competition in practice. And, again, like you're right, he does have that Mike Smith kind of will in him that he doesn't want to get scored on ever. He doesn't want guys in his crease, and he's going to defend those areas. And, you know, he just brings that competitive game every night.
You've worked with lots of different guys in the business. You're in Kootenay with Corey Clouston, who I'm going to date myself. But I broadcast Corey's games when he played at the University of Alberta in the early 90s. He went on with Corey into the NHL. You're in Anaheim as an assistant at a time in which, you had the privilege of working with a guy like Bruce Boudreau, who's a heck of a coach. But most recently, John Cooper in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Is there something the best coaches do with today's players to get the most out of them?
Well, I think, I think the biggest thing is the players need to feel valuable, and not just the superstars. I think it's at all lines, all levels of players, and I think that's one thing what John's very good at is giving the players a purpose, wanting them to be successful, coming to the rink and understanding their role and getting them to play. And I think he gives the players some value. And I think that's important today's game. I think the biggest thing is that you got to have a happy group of guys coming to the rink every day. And that's important, their mindset when they approach. And, when you have that, you have a group of guys that want to learn every day. And, I really think, those, whatever you want to call them, the third and fourth line guys, the role players, even the guys that are in the lineup, he makes them feel valuable, important to the team, and which they all are. But he does a really good job of managing his players that way.
One of the things Tampa's going to have to do is they're going to have to shed some salary. Most people think three of the following four players, Tyler Johnson, possibly to Seattle, Palat might be gone, Gord might be gone, Alex Killorn. You coached him. There'd be lots of interest in him out there. I'm sure Tampa Bay doesn't want to lose him. Tell us about this player. What makes him a real important contributor?
I think he was one of our fittest athletes when we did training camp, our fitness testings and stuff like that. He's a real focused individual. I really think his great game is really growing. During the playoff run last season when they won the cup, I really thought he took his game to the next level. He's a kid that can really shoot the puck. He's got a really good wrist shot. He's that responsible 200-foot player, but he also brings some offensive ability, some physical play that requires, again, if you see in the playoffs, heavy teams seem to go the distance in these playoffs and in all the playoffs, and he can play that type of game without being affected with him offensively. And, he's just another kid that's really focused on being a pro. And like I said, winning that cup last year for him, I really think he's taking his game to another level.
Brad, appreciate the time. We'll have lots of conversations this upcoming season. It's going to be a good year for your guys, and it's going to be a real interesting NHL draft for both Dylan Gunther and Sebastian Kosa, and apparently Jalen Lipin as well. So we'll keep an eye on that. Thanks for your time, Brad.
Great. Thanks, Bob.
That is Brad Lauer, head coach of the Edmonton Oil Kings. It's 1:23 in Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Oscar Clefbaum from the Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 Shed.
All right, two quick texts at 1:25 on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. DT says, I disagree with the texter that said earlier in the show that signing R&H would be a waste of money like it was with Cassian. Again, I'm telling you right now, Cassian would have, there's a market for Cassian out there. I know that. Everybody loves Ryan O'Reilly, says DT, but who has more points per game in their careers? R&H. People would counter and say that O'Reilly brings more intangibles. Does he play power play, PK, left wing, center, and is responsible defensively? We know R&H is. People would open the bank to get O'Reilly. DT adds, I believe that RNH has been limited by recency bias. He had a bad year, but it takes a good player to play with good players. His points really elevate when he plays with Dreyer and McDavid. It's not all them. He's good enough to keep up and read the game at their level. I would give him at least $6 million. That one comes to us from DT. All right, my response to that, DT, would be that O'Reilly is a way better two-way centerman than Nugent Hopkins is. Number one, you have the puck more. Because O'Reilly is like a 58-59% face-off guy. I would, you know what? I'd say that O'Reilly's probably better on the PK. Nugent's tough to argue. Nugent Hopkins is an important part of the Oilers' power play. In a 1-3-1 formation, that power play has been number one in the NHL the last 2 years. And the Oilers have always had a pretty good power play since Nugent's been, with the exception of 1 year, I think. I mean, they were third in the league in Nugent's first year in the NHL, 2011-2012. The next year, in the lockout year, they were second in the West. So Nugent Hopkins is a pretty good power play guy. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. The Chiseler, the voice from the past from Las Vegas, says, Bob, I definitely don't want to sound like a Vegas broadcaster or look like him. In this unique experience, can I ask you a question? What's the chance of bringing Killorn in and signing RNH? And are the Habs able to get one or two versus Vegas? The Chiseler says the Oilers should grab Kosa at the draft. And rumor has it, with your mental makeup, kind of the Mike Smith prototype, that you guided the licorice shake drinking championship team to a 22-1 record. Is there any truth to that? You know, Chiseler, you have a way of combining about five different thoughts. One of these days, we got to get them down to one or two. Brian, who's not a fan of Ryan Nugent Hopkins, says O'Reilly's a way better player, but even he doesn't skate good enough for me. That one comes to us from Brian. Well, Brian, there's lots of guys that like Ryan O'Reilly around the league, so you're entitled not to like who you don't want to like. It comes with the territory. Old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridge Ford and Wetaskiwin committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using enough, payments or interest rate that's too high, and you want to sell it, refinance it, or trade it in for something different, go visit Uncle Milt Rich, Johnny and the Gang at Brent Ridge Ford, or call them at 1-877-477-3673, or visit BrentRidge.com. Off to a global news, weather, traffic update with Eileen Bell. Back with Marc Antoine Godin from The Athletic to talk about Montreal and Vegas when we return in Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.